Good evening. Guess what evening this is? It's Christmas evening. Yeah. And we have gathered, and I could hear you guys singing. I know you've been celebrating. Because I could hear you singing back in the back there. And I actually was joining in with you. I mean, that was some great stuff. And I believe that when the shepherds received the announcements of the angels that the king has been born, I don't think when they announced the birth of Jesus, it was like, the first Noel. Here's how it goes, shepherds, learn this. The angels. I don't think it was like that. I think it was like this, like you just heard. Yeah. So listen, tonight we are celebrating Christmas Eve. Merry Christmas to you all. And you know what? It's a battle out there. I don't know how many stores are opened after Christmas. I mean, after the service here today. Some of you perhaps haven't finished yet with your Christmas shopping. If you haven't, I don't know, man. I don't know. I don't know if you're going to finish. But you know, it's a tough time of year, isn't it? I mean, on the one hand, it's amazing. On the other hand, it's stressful. In fact, I don't know if you know this or not, but I read this on the internet the other day that actually this time of year, the incident of heart attack is worse around Christmas. Do you know that? So, yeah, to that end, I read a story off the internet. There were three men who died Christmas Eve. And, of course, they were met by St. Peter at the pearly gates. In honor of the holy season, St. Peter said, well, I'll tell you what, guys, I'm going to let you in on a special pass. But in order to get in this time, you must each possess something that symbolizes Christmas. And so the first guy fumbled through his pockets looking for something. And he pulled out a lighter and he flicked it on. And he says, that represents a candle. Peter said, that'll work. You can go through. This is not doctrine, by the way. You guys know that. The second man reached into his pocket and he pulled out a set of keys. And St. Peter goes, set of keys? What's that got to do with Christmas? And the man shook them and they sounded like bells. And so Peter goes, oh, all right, you can go through. That'll work. The third man, searching desperately in a panic through his pockets, he finally pulled out a pair of women's glasses. And St. Peter looked with a quizzical look on his face and he said, and just what do those symbolize when it comes to Christmas? And he replied, they're carols, my wife. Went a little better this service than last. They were still looking at me at this point going, what's that mean? But tonight I'm going to take a little different approach to the way I'm teaching. I am experimenting here and venturing out a bit. And because the kids are here, right? And I want the kids, I want you kids to pay attention. So the title of my message, check this out, kids. It's called A Grinch-Proof Christmas. How about that? You see, and we are going to see how it is and hopefully understand a bit about how to protect ourselves from becoming the Grinch. Now, you kids remember the Grinch, don't you? In that famous story, How the Grinch Stole Christmas, you know the story. You've seen the movie. It has been around for 60 years from its original publication, way back when, by Dr. Seuss. That's been on television. It's been the stories. It's been remade many times. And there is just a recent one. Perhaps some of you kids have seen it in the last several weeks. The Grinch there in the movie theaters. You see, this story is something that, well, as we look at it, what we see is a man, or, well, I'm not sure he's a man. In fact, I'm not sure what he is. Kids, what is he? Do you know what he is? I just know. Well, take a look at him and see if you can tell me. One thing I can see that he is, he's not happy. But he's not a dog or a cat. What could he be? I don't know. He's a Grinch, I guess. That's the way it is. You see, this guy lived in a cave on Mount Crumpet, 3,000 feet above a group of people known as the Happy Whos. And every Christmas, this Grinch, he couldn't stand what he saw and heard from the valley below. When the people were singing and celebrating Christmas and the music was flowing and the lights were glowing, it drove him crazy. So he decided in his two sizes too small Grinch heart to invade Whoville and steal Christmas away. Now the storyline, a bit far-fetched. You got this green guy and a group of happy Whos, and even Grinch's dog, Max, stepped into a reindeer role. And so, you know, you look at that, and I know some of you adults right now, the kids are okay, but the adults are going, Pastor, have you lost your mind? Well, I've been known to, and I've been prone to from time to time, but my prayer is that you'll catch the drift as we move along. You see, in our real lives today, frequently we find Christmas being stolen, the joy and the celebration of the season, the stress and the reason, you see. Does the Grinch story contain a bit of reality for you and for me? In a time that, well, we should be singing and celebrating, but have you found yourself in a place where there's tension, maybe even as you sit here at this very moment, there is anxiety. You're going, Pastor, hurry up. The roast is on. I've got stuff still to do. Pastor, move it. This time of year is supposed to be peaceful and joyful and yet often it's a season of frustration and confusion. And well, guess what? It doesn't have to be that way. You see, we miss the reason for the season. And what is it? Well, it's very simple. God came in the flesh to help us. God showed up because He knew we needed help. Kids, do your mom and dad need help? Okay. Help them and encourage them to pray that God will help them. Because the reason Jesus came was to save us from this crazy, broken world and rescue us from the deadness and the hopelessness and the depression and the discouragement that so often plagues many this time of year. Why did God come to help us? Well, that's easy, because He loves us. He loves us. He loves us with a love greater than we can even comprehend. And He didn't just tell us He loves us. He sent His Son, Jesus, to do something about it, to bridge the gap and the brokenness that is caused by sin. He sent His Son. And that's the message of Christmas. The carols, the songs that you sing this time of year, well, we just sang one. Joy to the world, the Lord has come There's reason to rejoice. Let earth receive her king. Let every heart prepare him room. The idea is, even in the songwriter then, they were busy back then as well when that song was written. And so we need to prepare in our hearts room. And then heaven and all of nature need to join in singing and celebrating and giving praise to the one who created us and placed us here with plan and purpose. Another song, God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen. Let nothing you dismay. In other words, don't freak out. Why? Remember, Christ our Savior was born on Christmas Day. For what purpose? To save us all from Satan's power when we had gone astray. O tidings of comfort and joy. God's desire? To bring comfort to our lives. To bring joy. To bring not confusion. To bring peace and hope and encouragement and blessing. But is that what you're seeing? Somehow the message this time of year all too frequently gets drowned out by Grinch-like noise and confusion that comes along with the season. The world songs, they don't sound the same. The world has all their songs. Have a holly jolly Christmas. Like, yeah, that's going to happen. You know what I got to do? You get your holly and jolly and get out of here. You know, I mean. All I want for Christmas is you. But she keeps changing the you. I mean, when she sang the song initially, she had one you, but she keeps wanting a different you every Christmas, seems. You see, God has called us to be joyful, and yet it's not easy, especially when you have pulled into a crowded parking lot. You followed somebody all the way out to their car with your car so you could get their parking place. And you put on your blinker because you know they're leaving. And they pull out. And then somebody whips right into your spot. And suddenly your joy. It's so easy many times. I mean, who has the time, right, moms, to experience a silent night, holy night, when you can get barely enough sleep as you try to keep up with all the things and all the plans that you have made that you've got to do still. Some of you, as I've said, still sitting here in that very place. And who's able to enjoy the message of God's love when there's so many grumpy pants people out there, and even family members get grumpy and you ask them if they could do this and why do I always have to? And I'm not interested. You see, that's not what the season was intended to be. But it's not easy to avoid the powerful invasion of the celebration into turning it into tension and the holiday demands. Do you feel that happening in your life tonight? Has your compassion been stolen away as you rush from task to task? Is the time with your loved ones being robbed from you by the busyness and the stress? And when your child wants to tell you maybe several weeks ago what they want for Christmas, and you go, you know what, I'm too busy. Listen, I don't got time to hear that right now. Tell Santa, don't talk to me. And your loved ones, there's not any time spent with them. Is the real spirit of generosity stolen as you feel the pressure to spend, spend, spend and keep up with the latest gadgets and gizmos available, and you're trying to keep everybody happy, and you're distracted even now because you hope that that one thing that you bought wasn't too hokey, and you're sitting there and you're pondering right at this very moment how you are going to pay for the overspending that you did, and what your husband or wife is going to say when that credit card comes in just a few weeks. You see, rather than this time being a place and a time of peace and joy, refreshment and renewal, it's just another draining thing on your list, taking away your real peace and joy. Well, you know what? That's how the Grinch works. The Grinch invaded Whoville, didn't he, while all the Whos were sleeping. Kids, you remember that? When the kids were sleeping, the Grinch came into Whoville, and we read, he took the pop guns, bicycles, and roller skates, and drums, the checkerboards, and tricycles, and popcorn, and plums. He swiped the Who's goodies and put a stop to the feast. He even stole the Who pudding and took the roast beast. That's a bad man. Not a very nice guy. As we approach Christmas Day, perhaps you feel that way. The Grinch has stolen, he has moved in, and he has invaded my heart and my soul and my home, and he's emptying me of those things that would bring joy, you see. Perhaps you're hiding it well. Nobody knows. But you know, and God knows. The suicide rate also goes up this time of year. Perhaps you've been thinking about it. Nobody knows, and that's frequently the case when suicide happens. Everybody's shocked. They didn't know. They didn't see it coming. I can't believe he or she would do something like that. They suffer in isolation, alone, trying to keep up with the expectation, trying to push down the feelings of loneliness, being misunderstood, being not attended to. This can be one of the most difficult times for many. And listen, you're not alone if you find yourself in that place presently. It can be a time when we get together and you see other families getting together and they tell you of their family gathering and all they're doing and what they're getting. And then you look at you and you go, oh, that sounds wonderful. And then you go on like nothing's wrong. But when they're talking to you, by comparison, you're saying, I don't have anybody that loves me. I don't have a family that's there for me, that cares for me. And your deepest needs are brought to the surface, you see. And the joyous events and the gathering of family for some make you feel vulnerable, sad, and stressed out. I found this when the pressure's on many times. You can't hide from these things. But remember this. When you find yourself in that place, and if you are in that place tonight, listen, with the suffering and the struggles of the season, with all the preparation for Christmas, don't forget the reality and what it is that Christmas is all about, truly, and the beauty and the joy and the wonder of the season. The reason it's all about Jesus. And you know what? At your lowest low, in your deepest valley, in the heights of your stress, there it is that He will meet you as you come with your need and in desperation to the foot of the cross and find the One who loves you. And who alone can fulfill and satisfy you. our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. You see, many people think, well, if I could just move into this house, I'd be happy. If I could just move into this community, I'd be happy. If I could just, we see this a lot now, move out of California, then I'd be happy. If I could just get a new wife, a new husband, get married, be single, you see, if I could just get a new car, and we think that getting some other product or possession or person is going to fulfill us. There's only one person that can do that. Have you discovered that yet? You see, that person is Jesus Christ. You don't need another product. You don't need another task to do. You need a Savior. I need a Savior. We need a Savior who can bear the burdens, who can deal with the loneliness and the emptiness, who can carry the heaviness and the weight, you see, that we sometimes struggle with. You need a Savior who can comfort you in your sadness, who can bring you strength when you're stressed, who can bring peace into the chaos and put you back together when your face is fallen and your life is broken and your plans have been shattered. And that Savior is Jesus Christ. In fact, the very announcement at His coming by the angel was, this is Jesus, God with us, Emmanuel. He will save His people from their sins. Those things that are destroying your life. There was an announcement similar to that, in a very dark time, to the children of Israel, God's people, in the book of Malachi. You can read it for your homework. It's Malachi chapter 3. In verse 1, God sent to a people who were stressed out, a people who were burned out. And listen to the message as He speaks to them. He says, look, I am sending my messenger and he will prepare the way before me. Then the Lord you are seeking will suddenly come into His temple. The messenger of the covenant or the promises whom you look for so eagerly is surely coming, says the Lord of heaven's armies. You're in a battle? God's coming. God's coming. You see, this was His final message in the Old Testament, written over 400 years before Jesus ever arrived on the scene. God was then promising to a people who were struggling, a nation that was in chaos and turmoil politically, financially, and in every way. He says, listen, I am going to send someone. I am going to come and I am going to straighten things out. And John the Baptist showed up on the scene preceding that messenger, the Messiah, Jesus Christ, promising the amazing arrival of Christ. It wouldn't be a Grinch that triumphed. It wouldn't be an invasion of chaos and confusion that set the tone for their lives. He speaks of a day when that would not be the case. It would be the cleansing and restoring Savior, Jesus Christ. You see, what would happen to holiday heartlessness, to the stress of the season? Well, the Savior, He is saying, will wash it all away. Listen to Malachi as he goes on. Verse 2, but who will be able to endure it when He comes? Who's going to be able to endure it? In other words, when Jesus comes, something's going to happen. And in fact, the birth that we celebrate caused things to happen. He says he will be able to stand. Who will be able to stand face to face to Him when He appears? For he will be like a blazing fire that refines metal, and like a strong soap that bleaches clothes. He will sit like a refiner of silver, burning away the dross. He will purify the Levites. The Levites were the religious people of the day, and they were caught up, many of them, in perversion. And what God is saying is, I know that that's what's going on in your nation and in your country, but I'm telling you, I'm fully aware of it, and I'm going to clean house with those religious leaders. I'm going to clean house. Those phonies that are hiding behind a mask. He says, I will purify the Levites and refine them like gold and silver, so that they may once again offer acceptable sacrifices to the Lord. I'm going to clean house. I'm going to make a change here. And then once more, he says, the Lord will accept the offerings brought to him by the people of Judah and Jerusalem as he did in the past. Precious saints, there's God's help when the holidays seem to be stealing away your joy. How's that, you say? Well, like a refiner of silver, he burns away the false ideas, the deception, the promises that are deceptive, the destructive actions that set you firmly on a life-giving, and set you firmly, rather, on the life-giving ground of truth. Removing the spin doctors and the deceivers out there. And like laundry soap, he washes away the junk in your life and in my life, the corruption, and he makes us clean again. In fact, the word refine there means to filter. Another meaning. What's that saying? Jesus is not only the refuge when your heart is overwhelmed. The Bible says, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Listen, Jesus is not only a refuge to run to when you're weary. He's not only the stronghold of truth who gives you clarity. But His presence in your life filters out everything that would take and drain the life out of you. In Jesus, we have a Grinch-proof life, a Grinch-proof Christmas. When Jesus took all your sin and brokenness upon Himself and died on that cross for you, what He did there was make sure that nothing would ever rob you of God's love again. When Jesus rose again from the dead miraculously, defeating the life-ending consequences of sin, He made certain that nothing would ever steal the hope of eternal life from you. Now listen, that doesn't mean that everything in this while we're on planet Earth is going to be easy. That doesn't mean that we will never face struggles, suffering, and difficulty. But we will never face them alone, because Jesus is here. And He's there, and He cares about everything that concerns you. And His promises hold true no matter how you feel, no matter what someone else may do. The strength and the courage that comes from knowing Jesus Christ by faith is yours no matter what the circumstance. Speaking of that faithfulness and that love for you, Paul, writing to the church in Rome, says, neither death nor life, not angels nor demons, neither the present nor future, nor any powers, height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. God loves you. He loves you. He loves, loves, loves you more than anyone could ever love you. And as His children, nothing can steal away the life He gives to you, to me. The Grinch, oh, he may have his day, kids, but he won't have his way. Remember the story? After the Grinch, kids, stole all the Christmas decor. He took the trees, the lights, the presents, and everything from Whoville. Anything that spoke of Christmas, he took. The Christmas trees, the roast beasts. He listened the next day on Christmas morning for the weeping and the crying and the howling that would come because there was no Christmas presents or trees or lights, you see. But that morning, that Christmas, he stood on Mount Crumpet listening, and what did he hear instead of weeping and crying? He heard songs. He heard singing. Christmas was being celebrated. You see, the Seuss story continued, and the Grinch with his Grinch feet ice cold in the snow stood puzzling and puzzling. How could it be so? It came without ribbons, it came without tags, it came without boxes or bags. He puzzled 3 hours till his puzzler was sore. And then the Grinch thought of something he hadn't before. Maybe Christmas, he thought, doesn't come from a store. Maybe Christmas, perhaps, means a bit more. Saints, it means a whole lot more if you know the message, and that is the message of the Bible. No matter the stresses or chaos or pressures of life, you have a Savior, Jesus, who laid down His life so that even when all seems lost of life in the chaos, you still have a reason to sing. You still have a source of joy. You still have the gift of life that lasts forever, the hope of a new beginning, because Jesus came and He's coming again. And Malachi says very plainly, I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. And then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to His temple and He will keep His promises. So I'm wondering if you need a Grinch-proof Christmas season, a Grinch-proof life today. Then you need to listen to the life-giving voice of God. You need to call upon the name of Jesus Christ, who is your refuge, who is your strength, who is a help. In times of trouble, He's there for you. He cares for you. He has a plan and a purpose for you. You see, that not only He can fill in your life. You see, but you've got to come. The Bible says, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in. The question, have you let Him in? Listen, we're not going to fix. I got a news flash for you. You and I can't fix what's going on in Washington, D.C. I don't know if you know that or not, but you can't. We can't stop, you see, the damage that is being done as a nation, as a people, and a country by pushing away from the moorings of God's Word that this country was based on. We cannot stop the chaos, you see, that will result as a consequence of just doing what we think is right and throwing out, seeking to take Christ out of Christmas, seeking to take the Bible and push it out of existence. You see, we are reaping. You say, what's going on? People say, what's going on? This is crazy. People's lives are being destroyed and craziness is going on all over the place. And how do we fix it? The answer, we can't. But He can. It's Jesus Christ alone that can fix it. God cries out for us to return. You see, the day of judgment is coming. Malachi 3, verse 5. Yes, I'm on my way to visit you with judgment. I'll present compelling evidence against sorcerers, adulterers, liars, and those who exploit workers, those who take advantage of widows and orphans, those who are inhospitable to the homeless, anyone and everyone who doesn't honor me, I'm bringing judgment. God's going to settle the score one day. The question is where are you? Have you given your life to Him? Do you know today that your sin is forgiven? That you have the hope of heaven? God will do battle against the things that try to steal away love and righteousness that He desires for all people. He will fight against those things in you and around you. He alone can change you. He alone can bring healing to this nation if we will simply seek Him passionately. Make worshiping Him and knowing Him a priority. At the end of the Grinch holiday special, you remember the Grinch experienced a real change, a real heart growth that changed everything. In fact, check it out. Look at the after picture with Grinch. There I am. There he is. His heart, once two sizes too small, grew three sizes that Christmas day in all. God wants to change your heart. You young people, I don't care if you're a child, I don't care how young you are, I don't care how old you are. You know what? The answer, the heart of the problem is the problem of the heart. And what needs to happen is you need a new heart. You need your heart changed. And that only comes by the power of God and putting your faith and trust in the finished work of the cross where Jesus hung and paid the debt that you could not pay because you're a sinner. A sinner can't pay for a sinner. One bankrupt guy can't help another bankrupt guy. They're both bankrupt. They can't bail anybody out. But Jesus Christ, born of a virgin, was sinless. Pilate himself, who had seen many cases, said, "I find no fault in this man, Jesus Christ." And yet, he continued, because of the peer pressure, to have Him put on a cross. He knew it was wrong. He knew it was unjust. He knew He was without sin. But He would not stand. Jesus died, the sinless Son of God, so that you and I could be treated like sinless sons and daughters of God. He took what we deserve on that cross. That's why there is no other way to heaven. That's why there is no other way to be forgiven. It's the shed blood of Jesus Christ, God Himself alone, that can cleanse you from sin. Will you come to Christ tonight? The gift has been offered, the greatest gift ever given. Are you going to continue to let it sit under the tree? Then don't blame God. You had it. He offered it. He put it there, and you, year after year, failed to unwrap it. Is it His fault that you don't have peace? Is it His fault that you find yourself in turmoil and that you're in the grips of depression and that you don't have salvation? You are struggling with addiction and you're lonely and empty. And God says, "Hey, listen, here, take this. Stop taking the pills and the junk that manna. Here, take this from the One who created you, who alone is able to fill you. Take away the deadness and the powerlessness and the emptiness and the loneliness that sin brings. But you've got to open it. Will you open it tonight? Or will you let another Christmas pass? Just let another Christmas pass away and just leave it there. You say, Pastor, how do I open it? I'll close with this. Very simply. Number one, you confess you're a sinner and don't have it together. Get rid of your pride in thinking you can change yourself. You change yourself many times from one sin to another. I know a lot of people that quit smoking because they felt it was a sin. Okay? And God convicted them, so they quit smoking. So guess what they did? They started eating. So they're not going to get lung cancer. They're going to die from, you know, a heart attack. Good switch. Switch one sin for another. You know what? Listen. God says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Recognize you're a sinner and you can't change yourself. And then come. Be willing to repent and come to Jesus Christ as Savior. And let Him do what you can't do for yourself. Let Him save you from the course and the road and the life that you're on. And give you life, and that abundantly. And show you how to love and how to live in a way that brings a freedom that you've never known, a peace that you've never experienced, a power that will change your life. I opened that gift in 1973. And guess what? I've never regretted a moment. Come today. Stop making excuses and make a decision and give your life to Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your Word, as always, for the faithful work and ministry of Your Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts. I pray, Lord, for us as Christians that we would pay attention, Lord, that we might not be brought to that place of distraction where frustration and anxiety. And Lord, we end up in a place of just we're grumpy, Lord. Help us to be those who continue to have hearts of worship, who continue to maintain our focus, who trust in You, Lord, with all of our hearts and not lean to our own understanding, but in all our ways acknowledge You. And Lord, know that You'll direct our paths. Guide us, direct us, Lord. And Lord, I pray if there's anyone here that has not yet given their lives to You, Lord, that You would draw them to Yourself, that they might come this day and, Lord, open the gift that You've offered, a relationship with Jesus Christ. We thank You, Lord, for this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand.